Okay, wow, what a morning. Hello everyone. Hello. Like Pastor said, we're going to be talking about both of us, our testimonies. We're going to be talking about kind of our experience and talking about, I guess, things we want to share, things that we've learned that we want to pass on to all of you. Before I get into that, I just want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to come back to this, but I just want to read through this now. It's verses 5 to 7. It says, "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Okay, 19 months ago, I was I've told my story before, and actually last year around this time I kind of shared the same thing, and I talked about my experience coming here. But yeah, so 19 months ago, so it was November 2015. I was in Canada. I was going to school there, and I was kind of at this point where I was feeling like I needed to be pursuing God more, and that something was missing. And so I decided that I was going to take a break from school when the semester ended. And right around that time, I heard about this opportunity to come here. And so I came here, and yeah, so I've talked about this before, and I've talked about how it was all a huge step of faith for me, and that one of the biggest things I've learned is just the importance of stepping out in faith and the importance of seeking God and trusting Him with your life. And so I was thinking about what I wanted to share this morning, because I've already shared that, and I was trying to think of all the other things I've learned. And there's a lot of things I've learned. I've learned a lot, and there were oh, that's not good. There were a lot of things that I could have shared this morning. So I was kind of reflecting on this whole journey, and particularly about where I was before I left, and that whole process of finding out I was going to come here, and then applying, and then coming here. And I was really thinking about that, because I was remembering the month leading up to this, when I'd already made the decision, I'd already been accepted, and I was coming here. I started to feel really nervous, and I started to become really, really scared of coming here. And the main reason for that was because, for one thing, I mean, it was my first time leaving the country, so obviously it was something that I've never, it was something I'd never done, never been away from home like this. But I also began to feel like I was really underqualified for what I was about to step into. I'd been a Christian for about 2 years. I'd been going to church for a while, but it was about 2 years ago that I accepted God and decided that I wanted to pursue Him and follow Him. And since then, I felt like I'd never really been pushed to grow in Christ beyond going to church every Sunday and, being part of the worship team occasionally. But there wasn't enough that I was doing, and I wasn't part of that was just I wasn't being pushed, and I didn't really know how. I remember sort of where I was, like I didn't even really know how to read the Bible. Like I read the Bible and I did what I could, but it was just I never really learned how. And so a lot of what I knew came from what I'd been taught and what people have told me. I never did like devotionals, which is something that Christians do. I just didn't know how to do that. I didn't really know what it was. Like I'd never been taught, and I'd never really ministered to anyone. Like I've never really shared my faith much with people that aren't saved, and part of that was because I just felt I wasn't confident in my own faith, and I wasn't confident in what I knew, and part of all that was that I was around all my friends they were had been Christians since they were really young, and so I kind of felt like I was just trying to keep up, so I was just hiding behind all of them and not really pursuing my own purpose or God's purpose for my life. So I was getting worried about coming here, and I started to think like, wait, I'm about to go and be a missionary, and like I don't even know these basic stuff. Like, what am I going to do? I'm going to get there and I'm going to look silly. Like I couldn't believe that I actually got accepted. Somehow they let me in. And at that point, I mean, I couldn't turn back. I told everyone I was going. I told God I was going, and I still trusted him. I still trusted his plan for me. But yeah, I was just I was really nervous and just really unsure. Of course, you know, I got on the plane, I flew to Texas, and we had training for a few weeks there. And pretty quickly, I began to feel at ease, and I began to learn a lot. You know, I really grew a lot in those first few weeks just training and just hearing, you know, people encouraging us and building us up, and I felt like, hey, this could actually really work out. This is really exciting. I was learning, you know, the importance of seeking God, and I was kind of opening my eyes to all this awesome stuff. And when I came here, I continued to grow, and I learned a lot here. And just like with my team that came up with me, I learned a lot from them. And there's just, so I'm so thankful. You know, pretty quickly I was thankful that I came. I was thankful that God called me, and I was really glad that I was willing to take the step. But yeah, so I was thinking about all this, and I was thinking about how God could have chosen someone better than me to do this. He could have chosen someone more experienced, someone more qualified by our standards, maybe. But he didn't. He chose me. And for a while, I didn't really know why. But I realize now that God doesn't call people who... He doesn't look for perfection in the people he calls. He looks for obedience. So it didn't matter that I didn't have it all together. The fact that I was willing to step out was what was important to him. And, you know, when you read through the Bible, you see that, like, that theme kind of throughout. Anytime God calls someone, it feels like they're not the right person. They're kind of the unlikely candidate to be chosen. Like, you think of Moses, who was called, and, you know, when he was called, he said, yeah, I'm not good at speaking. I'm not very eloquent. You know, I can't really speak in front of a lot of people. I shouldn't be the one to lead a nation, but God called him to that. And you know, you think of the disciples, the people that Jesus called, they weren't maybe the people that we would have expected. They weren't people that spent all their time in the synagogues and knew the Torah front and back. They didn't study it all the time. They were kind of just regular people. They were fishermen and tax collectors, and these were the people that Jesus chose to build his church on. Another example is Paul, who, you know, he was a dangerous persecutor of Christians, but Jesus called him personally to spread his gospel, and he ends up writing 13 books in the Bible. He's choosing these unlikely people to do his work. And so me, you know, with my minimal knowledge and minimal experience, he sent me to another country to be a missionary. I was unqualified by human standards or human expectations. But to God, it was just what I needed. I was obedient enough to take the risk. I was thinking of kind of the looking back on all my experiences this year, and one of the best examples of just this principle working in my life was, I'll tell a little story. So it was about a year ago. It was while I was here, but my team was going back to Texas for about a week of training. And before we'd gone, a youth pastor from a church down there asked us if we could go to the youth group and teach something and do like a little workshop and lead the youth group. And so we agreed. And so we were thinking about what we wanted to teach, what we wanted to share with them. And we decided that, you know, something important is maybe teaching them how they could share their testimony. So that's what we were going to do. We were going to teach them how to share their testimony, and we also wanted to show them that there's different ways they could do that. You know, they could use different creative outlets to be able to share God's story in them, in their lives. And so, you know, you can use drama or art or music, you know, things like that to express yourself and show people, you know, what God's done for you. So the way we're going to do that is we're going to use my testimony, and we are going to present, you know, I was going to present my testimony to them and spend like 20 minutes doing that. And we wanted to use all those creative things. So we were going to have like a drama, and I was going to get up and speak and kind of deliver like a sermon, I guess. And we were going to have art to go along with it. And I was going to write a song about, you know, my story. And I was going to perform it for them. So I was excited. It sounded like it was going to be cool. And then it was getting close to the time, and I don't think we had enough as much time as we wanted to prepare. And going into it, I especially felt like I was not quite prepared. I wasn't quite ready. And a lot of the responsibility of the whole thing was on me. Like, it was my story. I was doing a lot of this stuff. So I got there and I got up on the stage and we started with a skit. And it was kind of funny. It was kind of awkward. It was, you know, it wasn't too bad. And then I started speaking and I found myself stumbling over my words and not getting it out right. I wasn't speaking, you know, I was relying really heavily on my notes, and it was just kind of awkward. And then we had the art to go along with it, and it wasn't really that great. It wasn't that impactful. It was just kind of there. And then I performed the song, which was terrible. And it was, so the whole thing was very embarrassing for me. I remember getting off the stage and just feeling really embarrassed, feeling humiliated, and feeling ashamed. Like, I felt like I'd let my team down, and I felt like I'd let the church down, the youth down, and I felt like I'd let God down, honestly. Like, I was given this task, and I didn't prepare enough, and I didn't do a good enough job. So I was sitting there, and I was like, I don't want to be around anyone right now. And then we had to spend like 40 minutes with the youth, helping them make their testimony. So we went with them, and we helped them with their stuff, and we spent time doing that, and we were helping them, teaching them why it was important, and teaching them what things to include. And at the end, we gave them all opportunities to get up in front and share with everyone if they wanted. And we actually had a lot of students go up and share, and they were sharing really, you know, vulnerable details. They were really being vulnerable on the stage, and they were really sharing what, you know, really really awesome things that God had done in their lives. They were just so willing to be vulnerable. It seemed like they had so much courage to get up there. And afterwards, the youth pastor came up and said that a lot of the students that shared had never shared like that before, and so it was just really exciting. And I still felt a little embarrassed and not great, but I started to think, like, I started to realize, you know, who's this about? It's not about me. Something about my presentation, something about me stepping up there and showing, you know, how I was delivering my testimony, gave those students courage and made them feel confident enough to get up. I started to realize that it wasn't about my performance. It was about what God could do through me. I didn't do a perfect presentation. I maybe could have been more ready. I mean, just in general, I'm not very good in front of a lot of people. But that's not what it was about. God was able to shine through. They saw me up there on the stage, obviously someone who did not have it all together, and they thought, hey, if he can do it, I can do it, you know. And it just brought me back to this verse that's always been one of my favorite verses. It's in 2 Corinthians. It's chapter 12, verse 9. It's, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. His power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So, by not hiding from my weakness, God was able to be glorified. God was able to speak to the students. I could have kind of not done it. I could have said, oh, that's going to be really hard. I'm probably going to make a fool of myself, and not done it, but God wouldn't have been able to speak through me. I'm going to go back to the verse I read at the beginning in chapter 4. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not for us. So in this passage, Paul calls us jars of clay. You think of a jar of clay, it's cheap, it's fragile. It can be broken easily. And he's not calling us that because we're worthless or anything. It's not like that. But compared to God's glory, that's what he's making that comparison. And he's saying that God puts his glory, he puts his light in us. He chose to put his spirit in these jars of clay, these broken vessels. So why would he do that? Why would he choose risky, you know, jars of clay to hold his really, you know, important power in? The thing is, perfect vessels, they're safe. They, you know, it's a safe thing to put something in there, and they look nice, and it's all good, but they bring glory to themselves. But a jar of clay is risky, but it can bring glory to God. I heard it once that, you know, imagine like a clay jar, and it has, you know, it has some cracks in it, and it has holes, and it has chips, and it's has little imperfections, and it's, you know, it doesn't look great. And we can do all we want to try to cover up those holes. We can do what we want to cover up those cracks and those imperfections. But if we're doing that, how is God's light going to shine through? His light shines through our weakness. His light shines through our flaws. Because when people see that we're just people, that we're, you know, we can be broken. We can be hurt. We're not perfect. But God's able to work in my life, and he's able to do incredible things through me. People see his glory instead of, you know, someone who's just trying to glorify themselves. We live in sort of a performance culture where the way we look and is just so important, and the idea of failing is really scary for us. But when we preach, like this passage said, we're not trying to show how good we are at preaching. We're trying to show how great God is. So it doesn't really matter, you know, how eloquent we are and all that. That's stuff that we focus on. That's stuff that, you know, man might focus on. But if God's glory is able to shine through, then that's really what's important. So, I would say, you know, I talked about where I was then and where I am now, and he obviously was able to use me. He was able to use me because I was obedient, and it wasn't because I was perfect. And so I would say, you know, if you learn anything from me, learn this, you know, if he can use me, he can use anyone. I don't want anyone to ever think that they aren't good enough or they aren't smart enough or well-spoken enough to serve God, because he asks for obedience. He doesn't ask for perfection. I'm still, you know, no one ever is perfect. No, you know, we can pursue God forever and we can do all we can, but we're never going to, you know, reach perfection. And now I still obviously am not perfect. But compared to who I was before I came here, it's like night and day, you know. And so my message is just this, that if you're willing to be obedient, he's going to work with you. And sometimes, you know, you might be humiliated, you might fall down. But just remember, nothing you do can ever knock God off his throne. You know, it's okay to fail. It's okay to fall. As long as we're seeking him and we're doing what we can to glorify him, that's what's important. As long as you're pointing to his glory, people are seeing him. So wherever you are, it doesn't matter how much you know or how confident you are in your faith, you can be serving God. You can be pursuing him. I was kind of sitting at home waiting to get better. I was waiting to be more confident. I was waiting to become someone that could go and be a missionary. But God was just saying, come, you need to come, you need to do this right now. So in a minute, I'm going to call Mariana up to share what she has to share. But I just wanted to share this. You know, he's called us all to be missionaries. And it doesn't mean you have to drop everything and move to another country. But he's given us all a mission to spread the gospel and to make disciples, and you can do that right now. You don't have to wait. So that's my message. Just go now. Don't wait, because if I waited, I don't know where I would be right now. So let's welcome Mariana up.
Thanks. Oh, wow. God's good. God's really good. Okay, so everybody sit down for a little time by now. Can you please stand up just a little bit? just move a little bit, wake up, hug someone. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Is everybody okay? Yeah. Yeah? Okay. Oh, Trace, you're taking pictures. Oh, Lord. Okay, you can sit down again. You can sit down again. Thank you. It's a big pleasure to talk with you today. Just to be here in another country, talking about God, just crazy, amazing. And yeah, I know that I'm supposed to talk about me. I know that, and during the whole week, I was like, everybody was asking me, so what are you guys preaching? And Scott was like, oh, we're going to give our testimonies. And I was like, yes, that's it. It's not. It's actually not. But okay, so I know that some of you guys want to know a little bit about me, and that's fine. That's fine. So I will tell some stuff, but my preaching, it's not about me. So I come from a Christian family. My grandma was a pastor. My grandpa is a pastor. I'm a pastor. No, I'm kidding. My dad is the leader of a ministry in my church, back in Brazil. He's kind of a pastor, but he's like, no, I'm not a pastor. Yes, you are, but it's okay. My mom is almost a pastor, and I never was far away from church, because when you have a grandma that is a pastor, it's like here, it's literally here, but especially with how my grandma was, but I was far away from God for a little while. And when I was 15, I started to have dreams, especially about the rapture. Do you guys know what it is, the rapture? Yes? Awesome. So, especially about the rapture, and I was really scared. And every time I woke up, I was like, God, please save me. I don't want to stay. So I got baptized because I was scared. That's why. Just why. And yeah, I got baptized, and I kind of started to go to church just, you know, on Sundays. Classic. And I was like, okay, I'm fine. I'm saved. But what never was enough. Like, literally never. I was actually going to church, and I'm good, but I'm not good. What the heck is happening here, God? I got baptized. I did what you want. Come on, help me here. Just help me. So, okay, I got baptized. I was going to church, and I passed through a lot of stuff. And I went to college, John Williams College. And in my first year of college, I have a friend. She didn't die. So I have a friend that she told me, do you want to come to a youth retreatment? And I was like, yeah, why not? I think, yeah, why not? It's okay, let's go. So I got baptized there with the Holy Spirit, and I was, yes, I'm ready. Fire me up, Lord. Let's go. Let's do it. So, okay, I went back to church, and I was like, okay, I want to do the youth group. I want to be part of the youth group because, I mean, what's the whole point? So I started to go to the youth group, and my youth pastor, which today is my great friend, he's amazing, has a great family, and God through him changed my life completely. And yeah, great guy. So I started to go to youth group, and I started to do some stuff because I did journalism. So he was like, oh, you can do media stuff, blah, blah, blah. And I was, yes, yay, let's do it. So yeah, I started to do that stuff, and he was like, you need to start to speak in front of people. And yeah, in the conference that we used to do. And in the first conference, we had, I think, 300 people or 200 people, something like that. And in the beginning, it was like a really small youth group. And in the second conference, we had 400 people. In the third conference, we had 700 people. It was just like, what the heck is happening here? That's so amazing. Yeah, but I finished college. I was working for 1 year as a journalist. Great. Really calm work, really peaceful, but not. It's stressful, really stressful, but it's okay. I really loved it. I learned a lot. And yeah, I was working and I was like, okay, God, I need to do something different because I'm kind of boring here. Can you please help me? And he kind of showed me pace and I was like, okay, let's go, pace, let's do it. And yes, I'm here, that's it. No. That's my whole thing. No, I'm kidding. Okay. So that's about me. And I think you know enough. I don't think there is nothing more to know. But if you want to know anything else, ask me. I can say it's not like it's a secret. I cannot say. No, it's just like God didn't ask me to say here, to talk here about me today. So yeah, I'm going to talk about Jonah, the prophet Jonah. And okay, I will try to be as fast as I can so you can understand. And I can do at the end a prayer with the youth at the church. So, hey, Chrissy. Hello. How are you? Are you good? I love you. Okay, so... So, okay, the first chapter of Jonah, verse 1 through 3 says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord." So, okay, so we don't know a lot about Jonah, and we only know that he is a prophet, son of Amittai, but we didn't need to know a lot about him to understand what is happening here. So, okay, Jonah was an Israelite from Israel, and that is a lot, is already a lot, sorry. Why? In Genesis, oh my gosh, I don't know why I brought paper. That's the dumbest thing ever. Okay. It's okay. Let's do it. In Genesis chapter 26, God remembers Isaac from a promise that is still alive. Now, there was a famine in the land, besides the previous famine in Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all this land, and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give them all these lands, and through your offspring, all nations and on earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required him of him, keeping my commandments, my decrees, and my instructions." So Isaac sent Gerar. So the first thing that we see here, that obedience blessed not just your life, but future generations. We are blessed because Abraham was obedient. So be obedient, not just for you, but for your future generations. So, okay. So, you can see that Jonah was descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? Right? Thank you, God. Okay. So, God didn't ask Jonah to do something reasonable. Because if he was descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he would be going to Nineveh, he would be doing what the nation of Israel was supposed to be, a blessing for other nations. So God, it wasn't like, Jonah, do something that I never asked someone in your whole nation. He was like, Jonah, just do what you're supposed to do. Go to Nineveh. So okay, but the nation of Israel got used to keep God and his blessings for themselves. So Jonah decided to go to Tarshish. which was exactly the opposite way from Nineveh. So it's basically like, do you know when you're like, you're about to go somewhere, okay? So it's 10 minutes to go, and you tell your wife or your husband or your children, can you please get ready? We are leaving. And they don't. So Jonah did this. He did exactly the opposite. So Tarshish was here. Nineveh was here. What Jonah did? He went here. So it's, what the heck are you doing, Jonah? So, okay. So, and other point is, what is Nineveh? Okay, I want you right now to think about someone that did something to you in the past, or I don't know, yesterday, that hurted you so bad that you cannot remember. And if you start to remember, you're like, oh, Lord, bless him. But it's actually like, why? Or let's do better. We are in the U.S., right? America, yay. I want you to think about a nation that did something really, really bad to your country, to your people. That was Nineveh. So Nineveh was a capital city of the Assyrian Empire, Israel's biggest enemy back in the time. So God was telling Jonah to go to a people that God loved and wanted them near to him. But Jonah was listening that God wanted to save his enemies. So it's basically God telling you, it's basically Jesus telling you, go to that person, go to that nation, and talk about me, because I love them as I love you. So, okay, we can kind of understand Jonah, but yeah. So, okay, let's move on. Then, that's the verse 4 through 9 from the first chapter of Jonah. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. And guess what? They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? He answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. So, okay, so something here is really odd. The sailors, they were not believers. They didn't believe in God at all. And they were all woke up trying to save the ship. And Jonah, which was a prophet, and let's say a believer, he was sleeping. He was literally sleeping while the ship was like, I'm going down. You're about to die. Jonah was, let's just sleep here. Doesn't make any sense. And we have people like this in church. We see the whole world fall down, and people are like, okay, let's just sleep here. So, okay, their story goes on. We find Jonah sleeping in the lowest part of the ship. So a tempest starts, and Jonah wakes up and is thrown into the sea and swallowed up by a great fish. So Jonah needed the tempest not just to put him in the right direction, but also to wake him up. And the same thing is with us. Sometimes bad things happen so we can be transformed and be like Christ, and be more like Christ, like Jesus. So, okay, so Jonah finally agrees to go to Nineveh. He gets there, and he literally says 8 words, and the whole city repents. Come on, guys, Come on. 8 words. We end. Oh my gosh. Okay, I will read the passage. It's Jonah chapter 3, verse 4 through 10. Jonah began and going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's the words. 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Can you please imagine Jonah going to Nineveh and be like, 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's it. Drop the mic. So verse 5, the Ninevites believed God, a fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah warning reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles. Do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everybody call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows, God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw that they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did nothing, not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. So they don't actually just repent. They fast and they put a sackcloth, which is like a symbol of repentance. And when you're like really, really sorry, they put a sackcloth. So can you please understand that that is our God? A God that wasn't just like 10 people. Jonah didn't say 8 words for 10 people and they repent. Jonah didn't say 8 words for a small church and they repent. Jonah didn't go to like Hillsong Church and we're like, 40 days and blah, 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 and they repent. No, Jonah said 8 words for a whole city, and they repent. That's our God. He does this kind of stuff. And sometimes we're like, actually, when Scott was saying his testimony, I was like, yes, that's exactly what I want. Come on, God, bring it. We don't need a lot to do. It's suffering God, for God. We just need to go. What Jonah did? He went. Well, he didn't want, but he went. Right? Whatever. We need to go. Let me find here. Where am I? Okay, so the word overthrown, and I'm not, like, my first language is not English. You guys know, right? Brazil, in Brazil we speak, it's not Spanish, it's Portuguese. So overthrown can mean destruction, right? Yes, I looked for it, so please, yeah. So overthrown can mean destruction. So, and it was probably what Jonah meant. So it was basically like 40 more days and Nineveh will be destructed, right? But overthrown can also mean transformation. And it was probably what God meant. So while Jonah was like, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown, destructed, God was like, 40 more days and Nineveh will be transformed. And so it doesn't really matter what we want to say. We just need to go and we just need to let God speak. Okay, so... Yeah, okay, I'm good. I lost myself here, guys. Come on. I didn't actually, at the beginning, I didn't go to church because I didn't agree with church. Probably because my grandma was a pastor and my dad was like the backstage of stuff. And I saw some stuff that I didn't like it. So I was like, that's dumb. Why? Why should I do that? And I wasn't like against church, like Christ body church. I was against the organization church. I wasn't like against doing like stuff in the internet. Oh, no church. No, like that. But here on my mind. And one day God stopped me of running away from his plans for my life. He transformed my heart and actually made me desire what he has for me. And, oh my Lord, help me, Jesus. I actually always wanted to come to New York. And actually, this is the part that I cry, because I was like doing this inside of my room. You guys didn't hear me, right? Yes. Nice. Nice. I always want to come to New York, and I don't know why. I don't know how it started, but everybody that knows me, they always were like, I don't understand why do you like so much there? And I couldn't say, because I'm from Brazil. I used to see New York like from a small TV, or big TV nowadays, and from my computer. And I was like, why? I mean, I love that city, but I don't understand. And a lot of things happened from college. Specifically, a relationship that actually made me, I don't know, was really bad. All I can say, bad. Really bad. but it's actually everything fine right now. And I break up with the guy, and I was just like, God, do whatever you want. I don't have plans anymore. I don't have dreams anymore. I'm just here for you. Do whatever you want. And when I joined Pace, I was like, my mom, I went to my mom. I was like, oh, they have teams in a lot of places in the U.S. And my mom, they have a team in New York. And I was, oh, Lord, why are you asking that? They have a team near to New York. Let's put it like that, near to New York. But you know what? I don't care. I don't really care. I go wherever God wants me to go. And I think it was 1 month before I come. And I think Kali, which a woman for Pace, and Kali was, you Skyped me, right? Yes, you did. It's okay. They Skyped me, and I was like, okay, where are they from? And I think I went to your Facebook. I don't know. I took the address and I put it on Google, of course, really, you know, journalistically. I put on Google and I found out there was New Jersey, and I was, oh God, I cannot believe. When we give up our plans to make God's plan, he finds a way to please us. Not because we actually deserve it, because we don't. I'm sorry if you think that you do. You're wrong. You don't. But because he's good, it's his nature. He loves us. And so it is. And I'm completely lost again. But what I was to say is that standing here wasn't my dream at all. At all. But one day I was at the youth group, and for the first time I saw, and Sarah talked this in the car yesterday, and I was like, oh, yes, Lord, let's confirm this. And I saw three young people accepting God and Jesus. And it's literally come on, Jesus. Let's do it. Okay, so it's literally the best thing ever. And in that moment, I was like, Jesus, I want to do that. I want to make young people. Why am I crying? I just, oh my gosh. I just want to make people accept you. And I didn't like church, but I was like, okay, Jesus, let's do it, whatever. And go, okay, and I'm here standing, but this is like a bonus of what I live inside of my room with Jesus. It's, I don't live to preach. Oh my gosh, come on. I don't live to preach. I live to Jesus. And he being here, sending, as I said in the beginning, is a pleasure. So okay, and so it is. I'm going to read because I cannot cry anymore. So okay. And so it is, because one day a greater Jonah was born for a virgin. He went around Jerusalem teaching, healing, and setting people free. And Jesus came. I love you. It's okay. I don't care. And so it is because one day Jesus came. And you know what? Jesus didn't came to free us from Nineveh. Jesus came to go with us to Nineveh. And when Mike told us that we would be preaching, I was like, God, I don't want to go there and just talk. And okay. I'm from Brazil. And my country is living a hard moment. And I came here and people were like, you are going to stay because this is your dream. And I was like, God, they don't really know that I gave up my dreams. Yeah, just God knows. Okay, let's move on. And at some point here, I actually thought about it. Me, Evelyn, and Lexi, three young ladies, really smart. We thought about it, but no. There is no way to live with Lexi and Evelyn. I'm kidding, they're awesome. But and I actually thought about it, but things start to happen, and you guys know the result. And I was like, I'm not staying. I'm not saying because God wants me to go back to my country and help my country. And I'm telling you, God's doing a great thing in Brazil. And I'm so excited to go back. And I was like, God, I want to give them. Not I, of course, I cannot give you anything. I don't actually even have money. So I was like, God, I want to give them. I want you to give them something through me. Let's put it like that. It's actually what it was. And because I cannot leave, like, after you guys had done so much stuff for me and for Scott, and actually don't give you anything. And I was like, God, you are doing a great thing in Brazil. The youth in my country is just like crazy about God. And God basically was like, just give them a little bit what I'm giving to the Brazilians. That's awful, right?